God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. I don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. You can build a paradise or wall yourself into a tomb or kick against the
holy. Alrighty, well, each week at this time we like to welcome Les Visible to do an audio commentary. He's quite well known across the world through various blogs in which he writes his commentaries, but he's like a musician, a singing, talking poet. There's a passion in when he speaks. And we enjoy when he speaks his piece. And so he comes from across the pond, somewhere in Europa, in the mothership, as he says, to bring this week's commentaries, socio-political and metaphysical, from Les Visible.
Good evening, folks. Dog Poet transmitting. The beginning of the week and the predicted date of October 25th come round together and debut today. The beginning of the week is certain. We don't know what may or may not happen on the 25th today, but it will come along as well, tailing a financial monsoon or not. They say things come in threes, so it's only appropriate that the weekly radio show should come around as well, and we find ourselves in the introductory text portion, the smoking mirrors portion of the program. Visible will be in the air as well as on the air tomorrow, flying off to meetings with the unknown and unimportant, relatively speaking, and so, in a manner of speaking, will still be in the telepopod beneath the tracking mothership. The winds of change are spinning like massive dust dervishes across the landscape, burning with a desire to be washed of iniquities and the heavy energies that weigh down upon the backs of the population like sacks of rocks. Surely there is an answer to our condition, and surely the answer is not simply to go on as we always do, each of us planting a handful of rocks on the back of tomorrow. Since I mentioned it last week, I see where others are now mentioning the real fire in the Turkish and Israeli standoff is based on the Mossad plot to assassinate Prime Minister Erdogan. Well, that was last week. What have you done for me lately, Visible? Let's talk a little about conspiracies for a bit. Rickson Stewart of The Truth Seeker has an interesting article on whether McVeigh was even executed. Those of you listening only can put The Truth Seeker and Timothy McVeigh into a search engine and get the article right at the top of the lineup. I already checked. Given that what he talks about is most certainly true, and I've seen it corroborated elsewhere, and given the recent discovery of nanothermite at Ground Zero and the exposure of Mossad agents residing in the Twin Towers prior to the 9/11 attack, it's become more and more clear who was involved in the attacks. It has long been accepted as gospel that the 9/11 attacks were an inside job by anyone not taking candy from the Tooth Fairy. Apparently, Oklahoma City was done by the same people. It's hard to imagine they have an unknown competitor running around who is also living at Elohim City. I haven't been on the American mainland in over a decade, and I haven't even been in American territory since I visited Hawaii about 7 years ago. So I don't know what it's like there anymore. I know I'm not welcome, or they like me too much, because they almost didn't let me leave last time. I did not feel the need to test the waters again. I do have the internet and hear things. I hear it's pretty tense in the denser population zones and pretty much the same as it always is further out, except for the foreclosures and the crumbling infrastructure and the missing jobs and the money going funny. More and more people seem to know that something is wrong, even if they're still blaming it on the absence of one party in power and the presence of another. That seems to be the angle of the media these days. You've got two seemingly different perspectives being argued from opposite sides of the same operation. Obama is still walking on water after having violated every campaign promise he ever made, and McCain and Palin are making their rounds in exile. Palin is headed for touchy-feely land on Ophir shortly. That will probably happen as soon as the ghostwriters get her book to the presses. I don't want to talk about this stuff. But I did want you to see what it sounds like when someone talks about the usual things running out of the S&M, SM, and alternative news feeds. Let's talk about something else, or at least in some other way. What'll it be? Winter is coming, and there has been no change in the ruling authorities bending over and genuflecting for the Dark Lord steaming in his tower. The Axis of Terror, which is housed variously in Tel Aviv, London, and Washington, D.C., are churning out the lies and giving the orders for murder abroad. Some great and intricate map of a game plan exists, but you can't pick that up at the gas station. Do they have a plan? They must have some kind of plan. Part of the plan was to steal as much money in real estate as they could get their hands on, while making Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan, both Rothschild fronts, the most powerful money launderers and counterfeiters on Earth. The second part was to put the middle class and the poor in survival mode, and in constant fear of job loss, eviction, and the notice of the police. The logical solution for the people of the world is to march into Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, and the Federal Reserve, and the Rothschild banks, and arrest every single person they can find and throw them in jail. Not much is going to happen until the obvious perpetrators have been stopped in their tracks. This is where the governments and world police, the standing armies of soldiers and lawyers, get their marching orders from. Here's a simple fact. There's enough for everyone on the planet and more to have whatever food and shelter they require. There is enough work for all the hands and minds that wish employment. There's free medical for everyone who needs it and money to pay for it without batting an eye. All you've got to do is stop the engines of war and the obscene money-sucking machines of the vampire bat bankers. The rich could still be rich and the poor could still be poor. You're always going to have poor people. Even Jesus, the Christ, said as much. Didn't he say that the poor ye have always with you? Or something to that effect. I think that applies to the rich, too. There's just not as many of them. As much as I think that people really should storm Rothschild Castle with their pitchforks and drag the monster out into the daylight, where no doubt the sunlight will torch his ass and set it on fire, and though they might well do, I suspect other forces are going to have to come into play because a statement is going to be made by the invisible, about this ugly, ugly behavior that we are all a witness to. From the food fascists at Monsanto to their lobby goblins in the FDA, from the media whores in the S&M-SM to the industry trolls in the FCC, it's all the same. Top to bottom scoundrels with hands the size of truck tires, perverting and stealing everything in reach. The common herd of humanity just rolls back and forth like Sisyphus in search of breathing room and daylight. They're not at wit's end yet. Maybe something good will happen. Dreaming of homes recovered, new cars, and a trip to the glimmering mall. Christmas is coming after all. The credit card companies have gotten permission to charge their customers, the ones who don't overspend and who pay promptly, a penalty fee for doing the right thing. Or maybe they didn't get permission. I don't know. None of them seem to need permission anymore for anything, do they? Like the song says, something's gotta give. But we don't know what and we don't know when. We're just treading water while we wait for the storm at sea to show up. That's right, just call me Mr. Positive. At least I dog paddled to shore some time ago and hiked inland. I know it's all gonna work out, and it's gonna be bad for the bad and good for the good. And we might even come to learn the difference too. Meanwhile, the Prince of the Air is battening his wings and driving the force of his will into the ground with a command of, say my name. Because you see, we're in that period of one quarter light and three quarters dark, and so the appearance of power is all on the side of the night shift. That's about to change. The light is coming and a new golden age is waiting in the deep banks of the raw material storage stations. It's about to be placed on the conveyor belt of the time continuum. As it moves through the foundry, to the transport trucks, to the view outside your window one morning when you wake up. Probably going to be some Sturm und Drang on the way. We've come to the end of the text portion of the show, which you can catch here on Sunday night or download here on Monday. Those of you only listening can ignore what I just said and what you can't see. Please bear with me in the space between this reading and the rest of the transmission. Well, see how quick that was. There we are, back in no time at all, and with another Everything is Under Control story for the second week in a row. I had to go see my car repair guy today to get the car seen to for the fellow who is going to drive it south for me. I didn't know the way, so I plugged in the GPS. So I was driving the way I'd been told to go, with the GPS constantly telling me to turn off and take another route. A couple of miles short of my destination, I decided to let the GPS have its way. Before I could quite catch myself, I was on a major highway, and 20 minutes later, I was in another country, and too late for the car guy, which was pretty unfortunate given that I would be gone by the time he opened again. I said to myself, I'm working for the wrong side. I should be working for the other side, where things don't constantly go wrong, and no matter what kind of a creep you might be, you get rewarded for it. Soon after, the voice came into my head and said, if I'd wanted you working for the other side, you would be, but I don't. And you wouldn't be happy there anyway, and you know perfectly well, because you say it often enough, that I am both sides, am I not? Am I not in charge of both sides? Yes, I said. At that point, my consort came to me and said the car guy said to come back at 2 p.m. after he had some lunch and he would take care of me then. It was a little while later when I was informed that this was just another example for me that things work out regardless of the way that I expect them to and that I should just accept that and everything's under control. I did lose some hours because of this, and I'm working on this radio show and I thought I'd be doing something else, but it looks like I'll be gone when I thought I would, just not in the way that I expected to, according to the steps I plan to take, which is not in my hands and probably not much is or ever will be. It doesn't look like I'm going to be able to switch sides either, but as I was told, I wouldn't be happy there anyway. Every time I find myself out of sorts because inexplicably, despite clear directions, I lose my way, it's just more evidence that I didn't know where I was going in the first place. I get this kind of evidence on a regular basis, and sometimes it seems to me that I couldn't possibly be the right man for whatever job it is I'm supposed to be doing, but never seem to be very clear about whatever that is anyway. It does appear that I am the right guy to bring in the olives from my trees to the cooperativo, because that takes very little brains and not much finesse either. I suspect my days as master of the universe are pretty far down the road, if ever. I'll probably still be needing training wheels when I pedal up to the gates of Shambhala. It hasn't been one of my better organized periods, as you can probably tell. I can't take back the things I said, but I was told not to worry about that. I was provoked after all, wasn't I? Yes, I said. I was provoked to provide me with certain evidence that I needed, as if I actually needed any more evidence, but apparently I did. I'll be all alone shortly with just the one dog and a whole lot of olive trees and a lot more sunlight. I remember that I don't really need other people around to be responsible for things going wrong. The last time I was in this situation, I was there a lot longer than I expected, and I had anticipated a wonderful period of meditation, and one of the worst periods of my life happened in recent memory. I've been told by several seers in touch with the movement of the stars that there was a good reason for that, and I shouldn't be expecting it this time, but quite the reverse. But to tell you the truth, I'm gun-shy. I will be getting a few visitations, no doubt some of the unexpected kind, and maybe I'll come across a vitamin K supply, but no word on that yet either. I find it impossible to communicate how freaky it's been lately in relation to simple details and events. I've been left with the inescapable reality that it really is completely under control. So I suppose what I want to say is that no matter how it looks at the moment, and I've had a lot to say about that, that it's all for a good reason, and we'll be seeing what that is sooner or later. I look at the terrible financial situation that a handful of international criminals put most of the world in. Then I see where they stole ever so much more money from the future of the people they put the rest of the world in. And then I see them carrying on exactly the way they did before, after a brief respite in which the bigger sharks ate a bunch of the smaller sharks, and not a single punitive action was taken by those in power to do so at any point along the way I just described. It makes me angry, but anger does no good. I look at the world leaders lying every time their lips move, and the indifference they have toward the people of Palestine or anyone in a similar situation, and it makes me angry. I look at the colossal arrogance of certain tin-horn nations to the suffering they cause and their rage at being called on it, and it makes me angry, and it does no good. I'm going to try to adopt a more equanimous vision, but my nature is against it. My nature demands tribute to my concept of justice, and my concept and my nature are both immature and poor imitations of a justice and a nature I cannot even perceive. I see it through the mist sometimes. I sense it above the noxious smoke of the fire of my rage as I scream imprecations at the heavens and am met with mute response. Indifferent to the blood and the tears, the dispassionate wheels spin inexorably on, grinding everything to dust beneath their unbearable weight. In the Congo, they starve in the jungle. in hiding from the monsters set loose upon them and born from the hunger of corporations, who covet their goods and imagine themselves heirs to the great dreams of King Leopold. In Stade and St. Moritz they wine and dine one another, with no concern beyond the passions of the evening on their satin beds to come. The blood of others is turned to gold in their accounts by morning, during the night in which they slept. I can suppose I am on the right side of the equation, as far as cosmic right and wrong may go, but I am almost certainly wrong about what should be done and who should do it. My life these days seems to be nothing more than the same relentless lesson pounded ever and over again into my head as it stabs like a dagger into my heart to tell me that I don't know and everything is under control. I don't know and everything is under control. I don't know and everything is under control. That's gonna have to do it, folks. As the moment comes round again and I see it's time to say for the dog poet, howling here in the trackless waste of his boundless ignorance and intransigent defiance to no greater purpose. The hard rock of himself worn away one day by the softer tears of time, which must fall until the stars themselves are called to follow. May you be protected and blessed till we meet again. And I'll see you in a week. You'll hear me in a week from a different place, if there is one. Aloha, avidachorin, and buona sera. Aru!
God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun.